You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to another episode of First Bite, our Detroit Lions preview podcast for PrideOfDetroit.com. My name is Jeremy Reisman. I'm the editor-in-chief at PrideOfDetroit.com. You can find me at Detroit Online on Twitter. With me, as always, co-hosting First Bite is Ryan Matthews, senior editor of Pride of Detroit at Ryan_POD. Ryan, how are we doing this Wednesday night?
You know what? I'm sick and tired of talking about myself already. Let's get the guest in here because I'm excited to have this guy back. He's one of our favorites.
He is. And he's one of the favorites that cover the NFL in general for me. And I know I sometimes sounds like I say that every week, but I definitely mean it with this one. He is the beat writer for the Minnesota Vikings for The Athletic. It's Arif Hassan at Arif Hassan NFL on Twitter. Arif, welcome back, bud.
Hey, what's going on? I love being like the favorite, but for real. But no, for real, for real.
But for real, for real.
Yeah. There's a disclaimer with that.
Yeah. Arif, let's jump into it. The Minnesota Vikings are 1-3. They've had some interesting games up, an overtime game, their classic missed field goal game. But I want to start with the defense because the defense is a little more interesting to me. Last year was a huge anomaly for a Mike Zimmer defense. I think they usually give up somewhere between 19 and 21 points per game. It was near 30 last year. What's the outlook now? It feels like they went through a lot of changes. It seemed like, and you can maybe correct me if I'm wrong, it seemed like you were kind of skeptical of their offseason strategy on the defensive side of the ball. How has that panned out? And do you think it's a lot better? It looks like it's a little better at least.
Yeah, I mean, skeptical is kind of like a relative term, right? Because sure. I didn't think that they would repeat their like awful performance from last year, but I didn't think they'd be like good either, right? So yeah. From the perspective of like a Zimmer defense, yeah, I was definitely skeptical. From the perspective of their ability to improve their play, I thought that was going to happen whether or not they made a bunch of moves. Yeah. I think it's a little bit more likely now that they have made a bunch of moves. They are playing at about the level, I guess, that I would expect. Okay. Individually, some of the players have surprised me in one direction or another. I guess they kind of cancel out in that respect. But I think like an EPA per play, they're like 15, 16, 17, something like that, right? So they're about average league-wide. And that I don't have to worry about, you know, including or excluding garbage time because apparently every second matters this year for the Vikings.
Right.
That probably just kind of holds true generally. The overall idea of grabbing a bunch of fairly established players for a level of talent that they have not recently established, right? Like, you know, Patrick Peterson, for example, was having a pair of fairly awful years before heading into Minnesota, or players that you might be worried might be playing out of position, like Dalvin Tomlinson, for example, is playing like three technique. I don't know about that. All of that. The addition of Everson Griffin, who didn't play very well, I think, you know, you're familiar with that.
Sure.
It's just like a bunch of stuff where I'm just like, I see the upside and some of these players will hit their upside. Some of them definitely won't, right? Bashaud Breeland, super up and down over the course of his entire career. Lows are very low. Highs are pretty high. One of those that thus far, you know, I would say is not hitting kind of the upside, but Everson Griffin is hitting his upside.
Right.
Patrick Peterson, I guess, kind of is, yet for the most part. You know, it's kind of hard to tell when people are targeting Bashaud Breeland a bunch. But, some of these players like DJ Wanham not hitting his upside. Some of these players that they've kept are not playing as well as they did last year. Some of these players that they've added are performing much better than they did in other systems or in other teams. So overall, a lot of this cancels out, but it has resulted in just a better defense that doesn't look like, I mean, Vikings fans have a conception of defense that is like very unforgiving just because of their experience with Zimmer.
Right.
And so, you know, last year's defense was an abomination, but this year's defense is like super disappointing. And it's like kind of hard to say, well, I mean, it's a league average defense. It's like, no, it's not. Look at, like, they just gave up another 40 yarder. And it's like, well, average defense is, well, on occasion, give up a 40 yarder. I don't know what to tell you. Like, that happens.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's fine. It's like, it's got a higher success rate than average defenses typically do, I would say, but they are worse at giving up some explosives. So it also, the way that works also happens to convince people to remain skeptical, because you remember the explosive plays, you don't remember like 5 yard run after 5 yard run after 5 yard run,
right.
You know, until it becomes like so thematically obvious that you can't ignore it. So that's part of it too. But yeah, it's an average defense that for the most part does well down to down, but just will give up a big play here or there and kind of cancel out a lot of their success.
Yeah. So as we mentioned, Arif Hasan from The Athletic, I'm going to reference an Athletic article that I read before the season. It was early August, talking about ranking every NFL defense from 1 to 32. They had the Vikings at number one, and it was
I tried to tell him. I tried warning him. I was like, you don't want to do this, man. Don't do it.
So, but essentially, so the premise from that article, just to peel the curtain back a little bit, is that the Vikings, just their struggles on defense last year could be attributed to them having terrible injury luck. And they lost Anthony Barr last year for, you know, a majority of the season with that pectoral injury. He's missed the first four games of the season with a knee injury, but it looks like he's going to be playing against the Lions this week. What kind of boost is Anthony Barr going to provide for the Vikings defense? Do you see him being a big enough difference maker that maybe he might help swing that league average defense to being, you know, maybe not the best defense in the NFL, but, you know, top five, top 10.
Yeah. I will say in Shields' defense, I think the rest of that top five is borne out thus far. Like, you made a bold prediction with the Broncos too, and they're like number two in EPA per play, right? So
yeah.
Like,
heck yeah.
I'll give them that. But I just thought that was very funny. I know Anthony Barr specifically, I think that he brings a lot that is kind of difficult to capture in a lot of the way that we tend to look at linebackers. And I say even because I actually do respect him a lot for Pro Football Focus grading, has been, I think, further down on Anthony Barr than his actual impact is for a defense. And the biggest way that he impacts defenses is that he just absolutely ruins protection schemes. Even if he's not rushing the passer, his capability and the tendency for him to rush the passer changes the way that offensive linemen and quarterbacks assign protections, such that you tend to create a lot of one-on-one matchups for players like Danielle Hunter, Everson Griffin, and so on. So he does a lot to kind of help on passing downs in that respect. And then also, like, the fact that he's like fine in the run game, some years he's really good, some years he's only average, but largely he's fine in the run game, is a pretty big upgrade over the backups that they've had. I mean, Eric Wilson was a disastrous run defender last year for the Vikings. And I think Eagles fans are seeing that now. And Nick Vigil is like a pretty decent coverage linebacker who just gets swallowed up in the run game. Like, he either is generating a tackle for loss or he's blown 40 yards off the ball. And you can work with that so long as the balance there is right. And it's not right. The balance is not good. He has a couple of tackles for loss and he's a couple of tackles near the line of scrimmage where I think if you just kind of take a look at it, just at a glimpse or kind of casually, you think, wow, he's having a really good game. And then you watch him for the whole game and you're like, this dude's getting beat up, man. This is nuts. And so part of the reason that there are explosive runs is because Vigil can't get off of these blocks. So I think Barr does a lot to help with the run defense, which I think is worth kind of discussing on its own in a little bit. But in general, having Anthony Barr out there just it helps a lot and also prevents confusion because he's the guy with the green dot. He calls the plays in. He's very experienced with that. He's very familiar and comfortable with the Zimmer defense.
Yeah. You led us into the next topic nicely. Let's talk about that run defense. Looks like probably no Michael Pierce this game. I know he didn't play last week either. And you know, the Vikings defense, where I think, you know, run defense is one of the tenets of it. 4.8 yards per carry so far allowed this season. What's been going on there and how big of a loss would Michael Pierce be if he can't go this week?
This is like a kind of a perfect example of the way that the defense is being kind of like run or operated, right? Because the rushing success rate for the Vikings defensively is not bad. Like it's pretty decent, especially when you consider the fact that like they play the Cleveland Browns, who have like the best rushing success rate, or the second best, I think. when you take a look at, you know, the Vikings rushing success rate defensively, it's about league average. It's a little bit below league average, but the EPA that they've given up is like catastrophically bad. And that is in part because of explosives, right? So the Browns ran the ball on 3rd and 20, which, I mean, first of all, why would you do that? That's like giving up. But the worst is that they converted it like that. Jesus,
that's bad.
And so there's that. There's like a couple of 9 and 12 yard runs. And then there was a bunch of 1 yard runs, right? Which with the Nick Chubb Kareem Hunt led offense. Yeah. You could work with that. Right. So I think that for the most part, the run defense is, when the season started, people were asking me, is the defensive line playing poorly against the run? And I said, no. And they're like, well, then why are they giving up like 5 yards a pop? And it's because a bunch of people are missing tackles. Yeah. I don't really care that much if defensive linemen are missing tackles. If that builds up, that's a problem. But usually if they miss a tackle, they've slowed down the runner enough that there's like a 1 yard or 2 yard tackle waiting from somebody else. When a linebacker misses a tackle, that's not the same thing. Right. Nick Vigil's missed a lot of tackles this year. Eric Kendricks has missed a lot more tackles than you'd expect for a player of his caliber. Bashaud Breeland is being tasked to the run game. I think one of the only run defense corner that misses more tackles than him might be AJ Parker. Like, it's just, that dude is bad, by the way. Sorry. But
I mean, he's an undrafted rookie.
Fair.
And he's also put himself in the right position a lot.
And that's true. And that's fair, but he's not making the tackles.
Right.
Bashaud Breland, not making the tackles. Xavier Woods, not making the tackles. So it's missed tackles more than it is people in the wrong spot or wrong defensive line alignment. Not having Michael Pierce is really big. He's been a really big part of their successful run. Like, one of the ways that teams will run against the Vikings is that they'll put themselves into a formation or they'll find a drive where Michael Pierce is not on the field and then go into hurry up so that he can't substitute in. And then they run on that. So teams know how effective he is in the run game. And I think I was able to check his on-off splits like 2 games in the season, and the Vikings' rush success rate was like something like 30%, which would rank 3rd in the NFL when he was on the field. So like, that's a big part of it. So having him not there for an entire game can be pretty catastrophic, but really the bigger issue is just the ability to tackle. And Eric Kendricks has made more tackles the past 2 games versus missed in the first 2 games. So that I just kind of expect to clear up. Anthony Barr, some years he misses a lot of tackles. Some years he misses very few of them. I don't really know how to predict which year that's going to be. but I expect he'll do a better job than Nick Vigil in that respect. So losing Michael Pierce, gaining Anthony Barr, I think that's a net loss for the run defense, but it's probably not going to be as big of a loss as you would initially think.
And I guess my lingering question that I have about the Vikings pass defense is just the changes that have transpired over like one off season, right? Like they bring in Patrick Peterson. Of the 15 draft picks that they had in the 2020 draft, I'm sure you're well familiar with that debacle, Arif. We talked about that before on the podcast, but speaking of debacles, like Jeff Gladney, you know, getting released from the team. I mean, it seemed like there was so much changeover in that secondary. Like, when it comes to, you know, the struggles that the Vikings have had in terms of generating a pass rush, obviously there's this inextricable, correlation between pass rush and pass defense. But like, how have the Vikings held up against pass defenses so far this year? And tell us why they're going to shut down the Lions this week.
their drop back EPA is like 10th in the league. Like, they're pretty good, relatively speaking, defensively in the pass game. What's kind of interesting is that's despite the fact that like every full game that Bashaud Breland has played, he's given up like 100 yards. One of those games was in garbage time. Like, I don't, like, you know, against Seattle, it's just like, yeah, okay. Seattle scored 17 points. So like, who cares? Right. But, that is kind of a concern. Cameron Dantzler has come in and he's given up fewer yards per route run, or I guess snap and coverage. But it's been kind of weird. Like, he benefited from a drop in the one game where he played 16 snaps and he had a really good play on his other target. So Vikings fans have been pretty high on him. And then they play him against the Browns because of a Breland injury, illness, I guess, like, which they discovered mid game. I'm kind of suspicious about that, right? But, and he gives up very few yards, but that's because like Baker Mayfield keeps throwing it right at his head. Like, I don't know if you got a chance to watch the game, but Mayfield was awful. Like, he's just like inaccurate on these blown coverages from Dantzler, where Dantzler was getting beat, I think, two or three times, and the ball just wasn't getting to Beckham or whoever. So I don't know what to make of that. But for the most part, it has been a good pass defense. It's been led by a very good pass rush. I think Danielle Hunter is playing kind of maybe not to the extreme levels of expectation I put on him at the beginning of the preseason, but he's playing at a very high level. Having Everson Griffin in there has helped a lot, you know, as hard as that might be to believe. Like a lot, right? And they've been able to get somewhat of an interior push. Their blitzes have been somewhat successful. So there's that. Plus, they just generally happen to be able to shut down half the field, whether that's because Patrick Peterson is playing very well or because they're giving him just the right amount of help on that side of the field. I don't know. Either way, that side of the field is not getting attacked that much. I don't expect Jared Goff to be as inaccurate as Baker Mayfield was on Sunday, but I don't think he's an accurate quarterback right now. No, you got to watch this Baker Mayfield game, man. It was rough.
You sure about that?
I am sure.
Are you sure about that, Arif?
Again, I don't think Jared Goff is an accurate quarterback right now.
Within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage, Jared Goff is very accurate.
Right. Yeah. Killer short game. Right. Yeah. Very short game.
Leads to my next question. Can Minnesota cover tight ends and running backs? If they're theoretically facing a team with zero wide receivers and a really good tight end and a really good running back.
Quintez is good. I mean, not like great, but he's like good. Sure. I would love to see him with like a quarterback.
but yeah, how are the Vikings in covering, you know, with their linebackers, their safeties?
I mean, they've been pretty reasonable, but like what tight ends have they been asked to cover, right? Mm-hmm. Like Max Williams in Arizona.
Sure.
You know, I like Harrison Bryant, but he's like clearly not the passing offense in Cleveland. You know, Seattle technically has tight ends, but no one ever cares, right? So like, yeah, they shut down Will Disley. Great. Yeah. So like, so far, great. They've done a fantastic job of shutting down tight ends. They've done a reasonable-ish job of running backs and coverage. Eric Kendricks and coverage is very good. Like I mentioned, Nick Vigil is a fairly fine coverage defender. If Anthony Barr is playing instead of him,
yeah.
I don't know. Right. There are some years where he's really good in coverage, especially against tight ends, and some years he's not. So we'll see. But, you know, they didn't have to worry too much about Noah Fant in the preseason. So I don't know that they've played a Hockenson-type player, right? So, like, I don't know how much any of that translates. But, you know, against receiving backs, you know, they played, you know, Kareem Hunt, and they played a couple of other receiving backs. They've done all right. I would imagine that it's really – their ability to force throws to tight ends and running backs that have helped them win more than it is their ability to cover, you know, tight ends and running backs well, because, you know, it's just a less efficient throw than to a receiver. Usually, like if your best receiver isn't like Khalif Raymond or Quintez Cephas, right? Like that's, then it's usually more efficient to throw to receivers. So yeah, they cover them fine, but I don't know that we've tested that like to the degree that we can test it.
Before we go to break, no Taylor Decker in this game. No Frank Ragnow. Panay Sewell at this point we'll just call questionable. We're recording this on Wednesday, and all we know is that
that's so rough, man.
He didn't practice Wednesday. So why don't, since you've been throwing out some fancy stats, throw out a fancy stat to scare the crap out of Lions fans about the Vikings pass rush.
I don't know about a scary stat. They've got one of the highest sack to pressure conversion ratios, which
that's it. That's all I need.
Yeah, if like that's but the problem is like for like a real analytics nerd, that's like that's anti-scary because it means that the sacks won't come because right. It's going to regress. But I think for the most part, they've got, you know, pretty good closing speed. I don't know. Danielle Hunter's gotten a fairly reasonable amount of double teams, like his double team rate is whatever. It's fairly high compared to other players. And I think that that's going to stop once Anthony Barr is there. Danielle Hunter has the best pressure rate within the 2.5 to 2.7 second range that covers 5-step, 7-step drops. So if you're not running a short game, Hunter is very much likely going to get a hit on you. So that's, you know, the thing. I think the biggest concern is just the history of Lions pass protection against the Vikings specifically.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Like that would be my concern. Right. Because Matthew Stafford has probably taken as many sacks against the Vikings as he has the rest of the NFC North combined. Now with Jared Goff
easily.
In there, yeah, right. Like with Jared Goff in there, you know, maybe the curse isn't there, but it's not like he's better at avoiding sacks on similarly timed dropbacks. So,
but maybe his best career game was against the Minnesota Vikings.
That's true. And if you've got a Sean McVay in there, you know, I'm pretty worried.
I forgot about that part.
Yeah, if you've got Robert Woods waiting in the wings, you know, I'm concerned. But otherwise, yeah, I don't know. Like, is Matt Nelson going to be right tackle again?
Oh, no. Hold on. Is Danielle Hunter primarily, is he lined up on the right tackle?
He switches sides a lot more this year, but he primarily lines up on the right tackle.
All right.
I mean, I'm so glad
I'm not watching this game this week.
Is it Matt Nelson?
Oh, that's right. Someone's getting married this weekend and doesn't have to watch a game. But to answer your question, we don't really know. All we know is it's either Matt Nelson moving. I think Matt Nelson is going to stay on the right no matter what they do. I think they're either going to start.
You can always trust a Hawkeye offensive line.
True.
Great. Good news.
I think the options for the lines are, do you take Halepuli Vaitivaitai from right guard, move him to left tackle where, you know,
oh Christ,
he won a Super Bowl playing left tackle Arif.
And protecting Nick Foles nonetheless.
Yeah. And then you bring Logan Stenberg potentially up, to start, make his first career start at right guard. If you do that, the other more simple option is to, I can't even remember his name. Ryan, can you help me out or do I need to look it up?
No, you 100% need to look it up. Jeremy, today you tweeted out that there are 10 players on the 53-man roster who weren't on the original 53-man roster.
Yes, Will Holden is the other option.
Is that the Vanderbilt guy?
I think so.
I remember him at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. So he's
been better in the NFL than he was at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, there you go. Yes, he's jumped around to about 8 teams since he went.
Yeah, I stand by in the fifth statement. Round.
But he's made a start or two at left tackle. So
okay, that pass rush looks I would say a little bit better. Ragnow's out too. Christ, man.
Ragnow's on IR. They put him on IR this week. Yep.
Okay.
Evan
at
Brown,
least Michael Pierce starting center. That's
true.
Yeah, and he's been a great pass rusher, by the way, which has shocked the hell out of me. But he's been a great pass rusher. Dalvin Tomlinson, I think he's got like a high PFF grade, but he just doesn't make an impact in the way that you'd expect a good defensive tackle to make. I mean, he does a really good job like closing up running lanes and stuff like that, but they're going to have a lot of Sheldon Richardson, who is a good pass rusher, not a great run defender at this stage in his career, but a really good pass rusher. And they're going to have Armin Watts, who as a nose tackle is a pretty good pass rusher, but gets blown up in the run game. He can also play three technique where you kind of just reverse that. He's a fine three technique run defender, not a great pass rusher, but effective. But, you know, against like Will Holden, I guess.
Yeah. And Evan Brown as center.
Yeah, sure. There's some opportunities there, I would say.
Matt Nelson.
That's a Hunter project.
All right. Let's get out of this segment. When we come back, we're going to talk about more optimistic things like the Lions defense against maybe the best wide receiver combo in the league. So stick around. We'll be right back on First Bite with Arif Hasan from The Athletic.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
And we are back here on First Bite, previewing the Lions week 5 game against the Minnesota Vikings with our good friend Arif Hassan from the I almost said the NFL Athletic, just the Athletic. I mean, you do talk about the NFL exclusively, so I think,
yeah, like I don't know anything about other sports,
man. Okay.
I learned the other day what a home run was.
Or what it wasn't.
When you single against the Green Monster.
I was going to say, you don't do any Timberwolves coverage. It seems like it's nuclear over in the basketball
league. Oh, yeah. We've got a guy that does both, and I haven't seen him at all. Like, he wasn't at, like, this last week's game. We were just like, yeah, that makes sense. Keep it up, dude.
Yeah. All right, let's get into this week. Let's talk about the Minnesota offense. I want to ease us into this. So let's talk about the running offense first, which surprisingly not as good as I expected when I looked at some of the stats. Like, you know, Delvin Cook's fine and his overall stats look fine, but DVOA, they ranked 28th in run offense, which was curious to me. And I assume you have an answer for why that is.
Yeah, so I got a direct message the other day. I don't know if like he's okay with me telling who it is. I'm sure it doesn't matter, but he was like, "Hey, so my rushing yards over expectation model has like Dalvin Cook like really low, and Alexander Mattison also really low, but higher than him. That doesn't make any sense, does it? Is Dalvin Cook, you know, playing well? Is he playing poorly? What's going on here?" And the thing is, Dalvin Cook looked like Dalvin Cook until his ankle injury against the Cardinals. And now he just doesn't look that explosive. His vision is still there. His fluidity is still there. His ability to kind of navigate some of these holes is all still there. But one of the big elements that he brings to the Vikings and his value versus a lot of other running backs is explosiveness. It's not as extreme as like Derrick Henry, where you kind of just need him to be explosive to be effective, but it's up there, right, in terms of how important explosiveness is to his game. And I haven't seen it thus far this year, since that injury. There are a lot of big runs being left on the table. And if you take big runs away from Dalvin Cook, he's like kind of whatever. So yeah, his yards per carry is like fine. But you know, when you run on like second and 14, you're going to get a couple of yards. So right. It's really just kind of the down to down, you know, success based off of what the down and distance should be. The Vikings run in very unusual situations that inflates yards per carry, but doesn't inflate their success rate or anything like that. So that's part of it. Mattison actually looks faster than Dalvin Cook, which I never thought I'd see, but he is playing faster this year than he ever has. It should still not be the case. His vision is not nearly as good as Cook's, his fluidity is not quite there. He's pretty decent as a running back. I think he's probably one of the top backup running backs, but like that's, if he's your primary back, you're in a bad spot. So they didn't have Dalvin Cook for the Seahawks game. They missed him for a portion of this Browns game. And Mattison was in there and he did like fine, which if you run the ball a lot, fine is negative. I don't know that it's all there. The run blocking has been pretty spotty. There are some games where you feel like it's through the roof. They're doing a great job. Ezra Cleveland does a good job getting to the second level. Uli Udo is like wild at how good he is. Like for somebody who played tackle at Elon, like a seventh round pick, they just moved him to guard, not even at the beginning of the offseason, like right before training camp. And he just took to it. His biggest issues are like communication and picking up stunts, which is a pass protection issue more than it is a run blocking issue. So he's been pretty good at that element. Brian O'Neill has been a better run blocker than I've ever seen him. I wish he could maintain that level in pass protection because that's primarily what he's supposed to be good at and what he's known for. But he's been a really good run blocker as well. And Rashad Hill is playing above what I would expect. He's a backup tackle. Like, who specializes in pass protection.
That sounded very much like a backhanded compliment there.
Yeah. It was a bad game for the Vikings offensive line last week. So I just, the level of my ability to like concretely, okay, the piece I just published at The Athletic was this was a historically bad game for the Vikings offensive line.
Right.
I have covered some of the worst offensive lines the NFL has produced since 2010, right? Like the 2015 and 2016 offensive lines were catastrophically bad for the Vikings, like worse than, you know, some of the Chargers offensive lines we've seen, worse than some of the Lions offensive lines that we've seen. Like I've covered like some atrociously bad offensive lines where TJ Clemmings was one of the high points, right?
Right.
Like it's bad. And this game that they had against the Browns is the only game in like the past 5 years where at least two offensive linemen gave up five pressures. Like that doesn't happen, right? Like in a heavily pressured game, it's usually the quarterback's holding onto the ball too long, running back screwing up, tight end screwing up, a bunch of people are giving up three, one offensive lineman gives up 10. Two offensive linemen gave up at least eight pressures in this game, and then the other ones gave up three, two, two. Alexander Mattison gave up two, tight end gave up two, Kirk Cousins held onto the ball too long for two. One was just a blitz on a screen that you don't have to blame anyone for. Like, it was just nuts, right? So catastrophically bagging for the offense. So I'm trying to like wash that out of my brain and evaluate the season as a whole, and it's getting kind of difficult. So I don't expect that against the Lions.
Yeah. And I feel like we had this exact same conversation last week with the Bears because they were just coming off the Browns. I mean, the Browns will just do that to you. I think that's
evidently
part of it, is the Browns will just make you look like the worst offensive line in the league. We were talking about how the Bears were maybe one of the worst offensive lines in the league last week. And then of course they come out and they run for like 100 yards in the first half against the Lions. So I'm interested to see how that matchup plays out this week, because I do think the Lions are probably better than they were last week against the run, but there's obviously a lot of issues there as well. Christian Darrisaw, we're not going to expect him to play left tackle, right?
No, okay. He's had like a week and a day of practice. And I mean, period. Like he's not practiced all offseason except for like 2 days in OTAs. He practiced all last week. Great. We're not going
to
see him.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure there.
Yeah. Sorry, Arif mentioned like, you know, giving up a ton of pressures, and I'm like, hey, Lions gave up 9 pressures last week from their 2 tackles, so that's awesome. So segue back talking about the Vikings offense. In terms of what they have like on the outside, so like obviously they lose Irv Smith Jr., which seems like it's a kind of a big blow to their receiving game. You know, we'll get to the receivers here in a second, but how have they been able to supplement what they do at tight end? I know that Chris Herndon, they also got, I'm totally blanking on the rest of their names because I'm so adequate right now, but Tyler Conklin's really big in the run game. Ben Ellefson, those guys seem to be more primarily like run blockers versus, you know, Chris Herndon playing this kind of, you know, pseudo receiver tight end kind of deal. But what have they lost with Irv Smith Jr., and have they been able to kind of, I don't know, do what they need to do at tight end?
Yeah, I think actually Tyler Conklin has been a really pleasant surprise from that respect. What's interesting is that coming out of college, Tyler Conklin was only a receiving tight end, and he had to learn a lot of blocking. And he was actually fairly bad at blocking up until very recently. He's had a very good season thus far as a blocker. He's still, I would say, a plus receiver. He doesn't have the athleticism to like really threaten you like a Kelce or a Kittle or even an Irv Smith. Or a Hockenson or a Fant, right? Like he's not athletic enough to be considered a tight end threat, but he's a very good receiver. He runs good routes. He's got great hands. He's a big red zone threat in theory.
A reliable guy.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's kind of like, hey, the Vikings lost Kyle Rudolph. Who's going to be kind of the next Kyle Rudolph? And from a role perspective, you'd expect it to be Irv Smith, but functionally what they do, it's really more of a Tyler Conklin, except he can block and Rudolph can't. So they ask him to a lot, but you know, Irv Smith also a really shockingly good blocker. So good of a blocker that the Vikings like 4 games in were like, yeah, we didn't expect this. He's such a good blocker. I would like to say that we scouted that and saw that, but no, we didn't. He's just really good at this. which is cool, I guess.
Sure.
But he's not a red zone guy. And so, you know, he's like 6, he's supposed to be a Jordan Reed essentially. Not having that element, they're really lucky that KJ Osborne, who's a receiver, not a tight end, can take over in three receiver sets instead of two tight end sets and be a really good receiver as a third receiver, which is the first time they've had it since, like, I don't know, like Jake Reed. Like, they don't have good third receivers. Like, it's been a bit.
Yeah, BB is not picking up the slack.
No. Never knows. but yeah, he's really good. And he also, it turns out, he's just insanely tough. And so he's very willing to be like a really good blocker and stuff like that too. So they're replacing it in combination with Conklin and Osborne. Herndon is like kind of just not seeing the field very often. So they're probably just kind of disappointed. Ben Ellefson basically arrived the same day as Herndon and he's out snapping him. And it turns out, and I hate saying this because he's an NDSU alum, but he's really good. At like what specifically he does, which I guess is only blocking. I don't think I've seen him run a route, much less get a target, but he's like pretty good at blocking. So he's got that. And Herndon, I was talking to some Jets writers and it's just like, yeah, he's supposed to be a receiving tight end, but he's like not good at that anymore. But, you know, sometimes he can block if he feels like it. And I'm like, Dad, is that worth a fourth round pick? And they're like, yeah, we don't think so, but you know, the Vikings do. So yeah, there you go.
All right.
But yeah, he hasn't seen the field. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're transitioning into the pass offense here, it sounds like. So we got to bring up Kirk Cousins' name. And it seems like it's been in
Kirk Cousins.
What's that?
MVP candidate.
Kirk yeah, Cousins. That's what I was going to say. Through 3 weeks, MVP candidate.
Through 3 weeks, yeah.
And then last week happened, and like we mentioned, that the Browns' defense seems to be just destroying people right now. First off, maybe this means nothing, but where are Vikings fans at with Kirk Cousins? And then where are you at with Kirk Cousins? Because I imagine there might not be the same.
Yeah. Vikings fans right now are a little bit higher on Cousins than I am right now.
Oh, okay.
Cousins is playing very well. Let me put this out there.
Yeah.
I am not low on him relative to starting quarterbacks in the NFL or even relative to his salary. He's currently, maybe for the first time, outplaying his salary, right? So that's where I am right now. He's playing like a top 8-7 kind of guy. Right. When I say top 8, I really just mean, he's like the 8th best quarterback. He's really what I'm saying. Yeah. Like a top 8, maybe a top 7 guy. What are you saying, Arif? Where's he right?
He's top 8, but he's not 1-7.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But yeah, so he's playing at a really high level. His numbers were nuts, right? Like his EPA numbers, his passer rating numbers, not yards per attempt, but all of those numbers were really high. And they're playing in what might be the first short strike offense that Cousins has had in a long time. He's getting rid of the ball faster than he ever has before. It's part of the reason that in the first three games, they weren't seeing that much pressure. And that's one of the reasons actually that the Browns game was a historically bad offensive line performance, because Cousins was still getting rid of the ball in like 2.38 seconds. He was getting rid of the ball lightning quick and he still got like blasted, right? Like I've never seen that. But yeah, he's getting rid of the ball really quick, but it means that his like depth of target is low. He's not going for many explosives. He actually went for a couple more explosives in the Browns game, and those actually kind of worked out. So it would have been nice to see more. He's not doing play action passing all that much, which is his bread and butter. But it's a lot of it is just like, he is being helped in a huge way by the offense they're running and the receivers that they have, where you can't really give him most of the credit on a lot of these throws for how much they gain. Like it's a lot of yak or it's a great contested catch or whatever. But he's throwing short and he's throwing really efficiently. And so he's playing very, very well, but I just like, people were arguing with me that he's an MVP candidate right now. And I was like, have you seen Matt Stafford play this year? Or have you seen Kyler Murray play this year? Right? Like you can't call him an MVP candidate and not watch those guys play and see what they're doing. But you know, he's playing really well and he's playing better than he did last year, but the Vikings are like 1-3. And so it's like very weird to talk about it this way.
12 years in the NFC North and you're still calling him Matt Stafford.
Sorry, Matthew Stafford.
just for clarification purpose, we're saying MVP, not NVP.
Right. Yeah. No, my strong belief is that Josh Allen will be hurt during a wild card game and Trubisky has to play and he will win the MVP again this year.
I love that prediction. Speaking of predictions, we're going to go right to our last
great
part of the podcast here, which we call the one thing we think we know, where we make a prediction And Ryan, I don't know if you know this, but, and I don't know how you did, but I won my one thing. I think I know last week when I picked, I mean, it was easy. I picked the under in the Lions Bears game, and they definitely went under 42 in that game. Nice. How did you do? Do you remember how you did?
You know, I vaguely remember me picking somebody to get their first NFL first head coaching victory for the Detroit Lions, but that's fine. That's fine.
We're not down on Campbell, right? Like no rules to me.
I would say most people in Detroit are actually still very, very much high on him.
Fantastic.
The only he's faced a little bit of criticism for his in-game decisions in the last 2 weeks, but I'm actually almost fully with him. I thought he turtled a little bit in that Ravens game, but that's for another podcast. Yeah. So, all right. So the one thing you think, you know, we make a prediction, about any aspect of this game. Doesn't have to be a winner. Doesn't have to be a score. It can just be anything you think is going to happen. So Ryan, you always get the honors first. So what is the one thing you think you know about Lions Vikings week 5?
One thing I think I know, I'm not sure if you guys saw this, but, a bettor on Caesar's Sportsbook bet $500,000 on the Vikings minus the spread,
which is what
seems like a great bet. I wish that I had that kind of money, but I'm just going to walk my little victory lap right now. I'm getting married this weekend. So the one thing I think I know is that I am so glad that I don't have to watch this bullshit because my goodness, this is going to be a rout. I would be surprised if the Lions keep this within 3 touchdowns.
Wow. Interesting. Wow. I'm not sure I necessarily agree with that. The one thing we didn't really talk about much is the Vikings receivers against the Lions DBs, and that was probably on purpose for our sake, because
dude, these receivers rule. Oh my god.
Yeah, they're pretty so good. And the Lions DBs, I mean, the Lions
is Okuda healthy?
No. He tore his Achilles.
Ruptured his Achilles.
Ruptured. That's not a tear. That's wow.
It's technically the same thing.
Hey, Tracy Walker. That's I like that guy.
The Lions are almost certainly, I think, at this point, going to start undrafted rookie Jerry Jacobs in this game.
There's multiple undrafted rookie cornerbacks.
Yes. Yeah. AJ Parker is the nickel. Bobby Price, the converted safety turned cornerback, has just been a disaster in the past 2 weeks.
He's played like a converted safety turned cornerback.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So Jerry Jacobs.
Yeah. Darnell Mooney had a pretty good game. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. Anyways, Arif, you're going to get the next crack at this. What is the one thing you think you know about Lions?
Okwara's out, right?
Okwara's also tore his Achilles as well.
Which
one? Okay, yeah. Julian is healthy, right?
Julian is healthy.
Okay.
Julian is healthy, and he is ready to play 12 snaps.
The one thing I think I know is that the Vikings will return to the passing attack of the last two regimes, which includes a bunch of play action and a bunch of deep shots. I'm willing to bet that they will attempt at least 7 passes over 20 yards. Most of them off of play action, which they just haven't been doing this year. So
that's wild, right? Like you just mentioned, like Kirk Cousins and this quick strike offense, like that seems to be like totally against the grain.
Yeah, but that's what they did the previous 2 years, is they were a really slow, off the ball and then really deep shots. Like that's what they did. And that's why this year is so weird. I think part of it is because they were so used to seeing teams drag a defensive end to attack the quarterback on bootlegs. And frankly, I don't see the Lions doing that. So I think that because they'll be focused on defending the run, right? And that's why I asked about Okwara, and because I don't know that they've got the kind of edge rushers that have the ability to pivot quickly from attacking to the run to attacking the quarterback in the bootleg, that it's going to be there. And that Jefferson can win deep against whoever, and Thielen can win deep against whoever, and then Osborne can win deep against whoever, and Tyler Conklin can like hang out with the linebackers and have some fun.
Oh, yeah. That made me sad. The one thing I think I know, I'm going to go a little bold here. I think this is going to be a one score game going into the fourth quarter. I think the Lions are going to run the ball somewhat successfully in this game. I think the Vikings might too, that's honestly. Yeah. But the game plan here is the same as it's been for the first 4 weeks. It's do these long, and the Lions have really been successful on offense with these long drives, these 10, 12, 14 play drives. Obviously last week the problem was that they didn't capitalize on any of them in the red zone. But even the process of stretching that out, I mean, they were they were getting worked by the Bears, and they were only down 14-0 at halftime in that game. So I see something maybe similar happening in this game. The Lions stretching out possessions, limiting plays in general, and just keeping it close for a while. But, you know, I'm kind of with Arif there too as well. Like, this Lions team is probably going to get gashed on a couple of big plays through the air if the Vikings are smart. And I tend to think their coaching staff is a little bit smart, certainly smarter than the one we saw last week.
Yeah, that's fair.
Are they smarter than Arif Hasan? Because that would make them way too smart for this podcast.
then I would agree with you. Blowout. 100% blowout. Arif, thanks for joining us today. Why don't you tell the people where they can find you and maybe some things that Lions fans might be interested in reading over at The Athletic.
Sure. Yeah, you can head over to The Athletic, theathletic.com/author/Arif-Hasan. I don't know why I ever do that, but I do it all the time. That way you could click on my articles, and if you subscribe, I get credit for it. So do that. Yeah. But yeah, I have a piece on the Vikings, horrible play against the Browns. And then the week prior, I published a piece about how great the offensive coordinating was for the Vikings. So don't read both pieces and don't think about how they interact with each other. I would appreciate that. And then find me on Twitter at Arif Hasan NFL. I tweet a lot of things. I fight a lot on Twitter. Everyone has fun and nobody is annoyed by that.
100%. Twitter is the most harmonious place on the earth.
Yeah.
And with that, thank you for listening, everybody. That has been First Bite. We will be back after the game with your post-game show on Twitch, twitch.tv/Pride of Detroit. We'll do our post-game podcast, which will be up on the podcast platforms, on Twitch, on our YouTube page, all that sort of stuff. Be sure to follow us all there if you want video, if you want audio. It's all available for you. But until next time, thank you for watching us. It's Chaos. Be kind.
Support for this show comes from Wix Studio. Designers and devs, you might be able to do your thing better on Wix Studio, a web platform with everything you need to deliver bespoke sites hyper-efficiently. Design teams get a ton of smart features that can take the grind out of web creation without it costing per pixel control. Dev teams, you get a zero setup, developer-first environment, combined with an AI code assistant and your preferred IDE for rapid deployment. Search Wix Studio today to explore the full range of features.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.